Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thanks so much that we can be here in this place, Lord. Under these times where there's restrictions about how many people we can have in our service, Lord, thanks so much for the camera. And if there is people over the other side, Lord, we pray that they'll be able to feel your presence over in that room, in this room. So I pray you'll be with us and help speak through me so I can bring your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. There's been a long time coming, I think it was. In January, Tony asked me, hey Cam, do you want to speak at church? And I said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. I promise that I'll do it for the end of the year. So I cut it pretty close, so I'm really happy that I'm here. Leading up this week, I was really excited and a bit nervous, but yeah, I'm really happy. For those who don't know me, my name is Cam Stewart. A little bit about myself. I love basketball. I love Marvel movies. My two second best friends are over here, Nick and Jono, and my number one best friend is Jesus. So that's a little about me. Right, so today, in the time of Advent, I'm going to be speaking about joy to the world. I'm going to break this down into kind of two separate parts about what is joy and then what is that message of joy to the world. So whenever I kind of need to have a little bit of advice, I kind of always turn to Google. So I looked at, before I start, actually we're going to do this Bible verse challenge throughout the whole service. So I've got some fruit bursts here. So every time I have a scripture from the Bible, I'm going to say what the reference is. And if you know it, just call it out and get a fruit burst. And there's a little other things as well. So just make sure you're listening for that. And yeah, so I turned to Google and find the definition of what joy is. And it says a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, which I think is a pretty good definition of what it is. But you know, we can't just look to Google, especially as followers of Jesus. We actually have to look to what the Bible says. So the verse that I found is from Luke 15:7. Does anybody know the verse Luke 15:7? That's right, it's the first one. So, Alison?
Luke 15
verse
here,
so
it's the same, hiding came down and
received him joyfully. It's close. What it is Luke 15:7. If it comes up, there it is. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And this is pretty similar to what the Google definition, right? In this verse, it's talking about that emotion of feeling joy. So we come to the conclusion that joy basically is an emotion, right? Well, I know a lot of people, they struggle sometimes to actually feel, you know, the emotion of joy. And I wish this upon no one, okay? So today, in the first part of my talk, I'm going to talk about some practical ways that we can actually feel joy. And to do this, I'm going to be using the acronym JOY, all right? And each letter has a word. Now, the first letter, obviously, is... spoiled it, my bad. Does anybody know what the first letter could be? Sorry about that. Oh, I think I heard Steve say it. Good job, Steve. See if you can catch that one. Good job. So the first one is Jesus, okay? And then the next one is O. Now, does anybody think? Yes, it is others. Awesome job. It is others. Got it there. And then the Y. Do we know what the Y could be?
Yourself?
Oh, I think I heard it over here first, Luke. Sorry about it. Okay. There you go, Luke. You got it for that. Okay, so we've got Jesus, others, and yourselves, okay? And the reason why I'm using this acronym is because you can't spell joy, O-J-Y, can you? Just like in our lives, we have to be putting Jesus first, and then others, and then yourself, okay? Because if we put ourselves first, that's not what the Bible's told us, okay? We always got to be trying to put Jesus first, and then others, and then yourself. So start off, one way that we can put Jesus first is through worship and praise. And this verse that I find about that was Psalm 150, verse 6. Hopefully a few people might know this one. Does anybody know Psalm 150, verse 6? Awesome, Sandra got it. That is it. Let everything have breath, praise the Lord. There's a few different verses, because when I was looking this up, I always keep on finding different ways of it, and obviously there's different versions of the Bible. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So talking about praise and worship, and worship is one of the best ways that we can praise God, because it's celebrating and praising Him. And one of the best ways that I find that we can do this is the type of music and media that we expose ourselves to, okay? And there's so many times that we listen to music, okay, when we turn the radio on in our house, the radio on our car. And I want to encourage you that when we do this, we want to be listening to songs about God, okay? And the studies don't have to show that the type of the music you listen to has an effect on the mood and the way you're feeling, all right? If you listen to sad music all the time, you're probably going to feel pretty sad. And if you listen to, you know, maybe you've just had a breakup with your girlfriend or boyfriend and you start listening to breakup songs, you're probably going to feel even worse. But if you listen to happy songs, you know, you probably are going to feel pretty happy. And if we listen to songs about Jesus and worship songs, we're going to probably feel the Holy Spirit inside us, okay? Now, I'm not saying that from now on, you're only allowed to listen to Christian songs at all, but I think you should hold yourself to a higher standard about the music you listen to. And this is something that I found myself struggling with a lot, and I just never really, you know, thought about enough. You know, Nick would always be calling me out on the type of music I was listening to. So leading up to this sermon, every time I put it in my car, I would always put on this one album, Donda by Kanye West. Great album about Jesus. But I would always have this playlist as well, Praise the Lord, that has all the church songs and stuff. So I really encourage you to hold yourself accountable and hold the other people accountable about the type of music and stuff that they listen to. Okay? So that's worship and praise. Yeah, so that's keeping each other accountable. All right, and then the next way is witnessing. It's a great way that we can put Jesus first. And I feel like a lot of people might feel they don't want to witness because they hear testimonies from guys like Nick and Steve who come up with they're preaching out in the square, or they're sharing these great testimonies in Bears Club, and they might think, oh, okay, you know, that's the gift that God has given me. God hasn't told me that I'm going to be a witness person. You know, we'll leave that to Steve and Nick. But this is not the case at all, okay? Because every single person who's a Christian, every person who made that decision, you are a witness, all right? And every little thing you do. Because if someone knows that you're a Christian, they know the standard that you should be holding yourself accountable to, all right? Most people in the world know what the Ten Commandments are, and they love to call out non-Christians about it. A lot of time, a lot of my mates, me, Nick and John, are like, isn't that part of the Ten Commandments, okay? So every Christian is a witness. And there's little things that you can do in this time, okay? Like, for example, if at your work, someone might know that you're a Christian, and they might always see you holding the door open for them. And they might put two and two together that, you know, these other people that aren't Christian, they're not holding the door for me, but this one person that is holding the door to me. And then they might come up to you and ask you, hey, I see you're doing this. And that's the perfect way that we can cut a conversation with these little gestures. And all it's about is planting those seeds, right? Because once you do that little gesture, they can come up and have that conversation with you, and then you can go into these conversations. And Tony, I was talking to Tony last weekend about, you know, these ways that we can start the conversation, and the one thing he said to me was asking the question, do you have any church background? Because it's a great open question that, you know, it's pretty simple, yes or no, but then you can lead into different, more conversations, and you go into like things like the good person test, and you can really start those awesome conversations. Okay? So the reason why putting God first is because we can plant those seeds, and we can enlarge our kingdom, which is awesome. Now, the next way we can put God first is through prayer, right? The verse that I found about this is John 15, 15. Does anybody know John 15, 15? Oh, Michaela, do you know the verse, Michaela? That's right. Anybody else? John 15, 15? Or close. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And the part that I want to take out of that is that middle part. But I have called you friends. Now, a lot of young non-believers, they like to ask me, you know, Cam, like, I don't understand prayer. Like, how do you pray? And the way that I tell them every single time is like, Jesus is your best friend. You pretend that he's sitting right next to you on the bed, and that's the way that you talk to him, okay? And that's the way that I quite often do it as well. I, you know, hey bro, you know, how's your day been? And have that little conversation, and then that's some ways to do it. Now let's have a think about, you know, what these relationships are like for friends. If there's a relationship with a friend when one person's just only talking to the other one when they need maybe some financial help, or, you know, they lost their ring and they ask their friend for some help for that, or they may be feeling a bit sad and they ask their friend for some help about that. And they only do it in these times of need. Like, is that a very good relationship when it's one way as well? Probably not. But thing is, with you know, when you're talking with friendship, it has to go both ways. You know, a good relationship looks like someone asking for something and the other person replying. And, you know, you're not just talking to them when you need something. You're talking about whatever thing is going on in your life. You know, you just tell them, you know, hey Jesus, you know, today I did this and stuff like that. And this is how it should be. We should always be talking to Jesus like he is our best friend, so it's awesome. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty who doesn't talk to God this way, because this whole year, it was probably about lockdown that I really started to struggle with talking to God. And I always would just tell myself, oh, you know, I've got so much on, and I'll get home and just instantly just I was so tired, I was on my phone, or just watch some TV, and I barely ever would pray. And I've really got convicted over the last couple of weeks about that. And I, looking back on it, I actually did have a lot of time. I just wasn't actively trying to put Jesus first in my mind, because that's what it is. It's a complete mindset change of you have to have Jesus first, because otherwise you're going to be putting all these other things in front. But with prayer, there's so much time that you can pray. So I'm going to go through five little things that you can do, five times that you can pray, okay? So the first one, the five times in your daily routine, the first one is on the toilet, right? This is a great time we can pray because you kind of only really have a couple options when you're on the toilet. You can either, you know, read a magazine if you have one, look at the calendar that's always on the door, or get out your phone. But I think, you know, that's the perfect time that we can pray. And the second time is in the shower. The same thing on the toilet. There's not many options of what you can do in the shower. You can't go on your phone in your shower unless you have a waterproof case. You're probably going to be washing yourself. And while you're doing that, you know, you're not using your mouth when you're washing yourself, are you? You can pray that time. The third time is when you're eating your breakfast. Okay, you're using your mouth this time when you're eating your breakfast, but you can pray in your head, can't we? People pray in their head all the time, so you can pray while you're in your breakfast. And the fourth time is when you're driving your car. Now, maybe some people who are a bit of a on the edge about how good they are driving, I probably wouldn't recommend this because I don't want to cause any crashes, so don't take my word for that one. But you know, it's the same with driving your car. You can pray in your head as well. And the fifth way is when you're walking from your bed to the toilet, from the toilet to the shower, from the shower to in your breakfast to the car. And the message that I'm trying to share with this is that you can pray anytime, right? Everybody can pray anytime. And if you're making excuses about why you can't pray, then I don't know what to say, because I've given you all these times. Like, next time you go to the toilet, okay, I want to encourage every single body to pray. And it's these little times that when we're walking in between things, like when we wake up, as soon as we wake up, you know, if you're putting your clothes first or go to the toilet first, you can say those little prayers like, thank you, God, that I woke up today, all right? Because praying is one of the best ways that we can just put Jesus first in our lives, okay? Sorry, I'm getting a bit distracted with these clickers, all right? So putting Jesus first, we've got praise and worship, witnessing, and prayer, okay? So those are the three ways that we can put Jesus first. Now moving on, we're going to go on to the O, which was others, all right? And the verse that I've got for this is Romans 12:13. Does anybody know Romans 12:13? Oh, Tony, I hear you talking. Do you know that one, Tony?
I just want to give others a chance to.
I reckon we should hear what Tony has to say because. Go on, Tony.
Look, that one's not coming to mind immediately.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Okay, so Romans 12:13 says, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need." Okay, so the first way that we can put others before ourselves is through service. And the first way that we can do it through service is with time and sharing, like it says in Romans 12:13, sharing our time with people. And there are many different ways that we can do this. And I think one of the best is when we do share that time is that we can serve the people inside our church, right? Quite often we hear Tony come up during notice time and do his little jobs like he did this morning with the signpost, right? There's so many times I hear Tony ask the church if there might be some jobs doing. Maybe the windows need cleaning or someone needs some guarding around the church. But this is one of the best ways that we can serve others with our time. So I encourage you next time maybe Tony comes up and offers a job, if you're not normally the type of person to do it, maybe go see Tony afterwards and contribute to the needs of the church, which is awesome. Now, the other way that we can be serving others is sharing the gospel. And you might think about something like, oh, how is that really serving? But you right there are bringing them closer to the Lord. You know, that's an opportunity to bring them closer to the Lord. And I think that's one of the greatest services we can do. If we can save someone, that is an incredible service. Like, for example, the way that I was born to the Lord, through Nick and John, you know, they were serving me, and it's a great thing that we can do. And there's so many times that we can do this, all right, through serving people as well. For example, there might be a time when you might be doing one of Tony's jobs for someone. Outside the church, you might be cleaning the windows, and someone walks past the church, and they might say hi, and you might say hi back. But I don't think that should be in the conversation. You should be able to share the gospel with them because that's where you are in church. And maybe another way that you could be serving is if you're out in the street and you might see someone that needs food and you can go and give them food. And, you know, you shouldn't just give them the food and scurry away. You know, The Bible tells us that we should be sharing the gospel with people, okay? And that when you give them the food, you can start those conversations. Like, you can ask them, like Tony was telling me before, you know, have you got any church background? And then if they say yes, you can have a conversation about, you know, how is that going? What is their faith journey like? We'll bring in the good person tester, right? So that's how we can serve others. Now, the next way that we can be serving others is through giving. And there's a couple verses here. And I know we've struggled a bit with some of the verses. So hopefully some of these two. So the first one is Deuteronomy 15:10. Come on, Tony. Deuteronomy 15:10. Anybody out there? Give it to others. That is. Okay. What I'll do, Alessandra, I'll give you one just to make it might encourage people. So there you go. You surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for the thing of the Lord, God will bless you in all your works and all what you put your hand in, okay? So it's telling us, surely, a lot of young people like to say, oh, surely, bro, surely. So you shall surely give to him. Now the next one, oh, it's bored a little bit. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Anybody know 2 Corinthians 9:7? Come on, church. Well, I promise you there's a very easy verse that we can get later on in the talk, okay? So we'll give you that one, okay? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I think right there is awesome. It says God loves a cheerful giver. And I think that should be the best encouragement for us, is that God loves it when we give, all right? And what better way to talk about giving with Christmas coming around the corner, okay? It's the best time that we can give. And we know that giving gifts to someone is such an amazing feeling that we can have in our heart, right? At West Braden School, where I work a couple of weeks ago, that all the kids were getting out the Christmas cards and giving it to the mates. And the faces of the kids who were giving the cards, when the kids received them, they were so happy. And the kids who gave them the cards were even happier because it was received so well, okay? But giving isn't just about gifts, right? It says in the Bible we can also give to those in need. Like it says in Romans 12:13 about that sharing with others, right? And I encourage you to have a look through maybe your closet during this time and see if there might be some clothes maybe that you feel you don't wear. Or there could be some clothes that you do wear a lot, but you may feel like maybe someone else needs them more than you, okay? So I encourage maybe in the next couple of weeks, next weekend, you can have a look, see if there's anything that you could be able to maybe give out to someone. Because there's so many places all around the city that are taking these clothes, because especially, maybe not so much here, but especially over in, when it's winter during Christmas time, it's the best place to give. And another way that we can be giving to others is with our food and the people who really, really need it in need. And it talks about in the Bible, you know, when you give, you shouldn't tell people about it. You know, you should be very humble about the way you do. So hopefully there's no one here that's screaming out, you know, don't worry, Cam, I really give to these people. I really like to talk to food. I give people food. But I really do encourage that, because it's another way, going back to when we're giving, we can give and witness at the same time, okay? We can give these people food, and then, you know, might give them a chocolate bar, and then we don't just scurry away again. We actually have that conversation with them, because I think, you know, after listening to some other churches, our churches are so well prepped in evangelism through guys like Nick and Steve that we should be so encouraged that we should be able to actually have these conversations with people and actually, you know, ask them once again, you know, do you have any church background? And then we can go into the good person test, which is awesome, all right? So that's the Jesus, putting Jesus first and the others. And obviously, we all know what it looks like now by putting ourselves last, okay? So I really want to encourage that we can truly put Jesus first and do those things and put others last, okay? Now, I don't promise that if you do these things, you're going to be joyful, you know, for the rest of your life, okay? Like, the reality is that, you know, we're not always going to be really happy, okay? But if we do these things, it will start to get a little bit easier and so actually I want you to take a second and actually have a think about a time in your life when you have felt most joyful. Okay, so take a think about it. When have you felt most joyful? And hopefully for a lot of us who call Jesus Lord, that time is probably when we were putting Jesus first. I know for me, when I was thinking about this, the time that I felt most joyful was when I was standing up here 3 years ago, and I got baptized. And I'm not saying this in like a boasting way, but I was putting Jesus first then by confessing my faith in a public way, and it made me just feel so much joy. Okay, So hopefully for you guys, if you're thinking about it right now, maybe give me a nod if you think the time that you felt most joyful was when you were putting Jesus first. And hopefully, if it wasn't, then it was maybe putting others first, all right? Which is just as good, all right? Now, I want us to, now, if you want, talk to the person next to you or even write down on a piece of paper so you don't forget one way throughout the next week that you are going to put Jesus first, one way you're going to put Jesus first, and two, the one way you're going to put others before yourself, okay? So I've given you three things for Jesus first: witnessing, prayer, and praise and worship. And for others, we've got giving and serving, okay? So now, talk to the person next to you, tell them the one thing you're going to do about putting Jesus first, and tell them the other thing that you're going to put others first, okay? If not, you can write it down. I'll give you 1 minute to do that. Awesome. So I really encourage you that hopefully you can pray about those things and you can really do them throughout the week, because... Awesome. Thanks, T. Yeah. Because when we feel so joyful, we can share that with other people. And if we are doing these things, it's another great way that we can witness to people, okay? So we've just talked about some practical ways that we can feel joy. And now we're going to move on into, you know, what actually is joy to the world. And we've heard it a bit in the songs, all right? But the lyrics of the song go, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, the Lord has come." It's pretty clear right there that is the message. You know, we should feel joyful because he has come, all right? He has come to be the light of the world that spreads around and giving people hope and reminding people of the truth that Jesus has come and that he will come again, all right? Now, one of the biggest themes in Christmas for believers and non-believers is Christmas lights, okay? We always see them this time of the year. I used to love, as a little kid, going out with mum and dad, especially around... Anybody go around Horswell during Christmas time? The lights around there were so amazing. There was always this one house which you can go into, and there's all about these lights. And when we think about it, you know, a lot of non-believers, it's a pretty big thing for them about putting up those lights. But it's just the same for us. Jesus is, as it says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they see God's work and glory of heaven." Oh, no. Well, it says in the Bible, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. And this one talks about letting your light shine, okay? Imagine if Christians worked just as hard about shining God's light through them as these people do about putting up their lights in the street. So we go back to that picture. You know, look how bright that is. Imagine if us, as Christians, in the church, work as hard as they do. Because I know a lot of us, you know, kind of struggle with actually shining that light for us. It would be so amazing if people did that. You know, when Christians work together to display God's loves, the gospel would just shine so much brighter and so much clearer, which is an amazing thing. Now, I've got a few verses here about... the first one is about the wise men, relating back to what Nick last week. And funnily enough, they're both, the references are 2:10, which I found was pretty cool. Now, does anybody know Matthew 2:10? Come on, T, I know you know this one, T. Matthew 2:10, about the wise men, that's your clue. That's all right. The wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy, all right? Now we can go back to the start, what I talked about with, you know, putting Jesus first, and that's one way we can feel joy. And I think the wise men, it's pretty clear that in that time, they were putting Jesus first. They were following that star. They don't know, as we heard about Nick talking about last week, we don't know if they were walking, you know, 1,000 miles like the song, but they were putting Jesus first in that time, and it made them feel joy. And the next one, in Luke 2:10, does anybody know Luke 2:10? It says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people.'" And I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, that's the angel saying that to Mary in that time, which is pretty cool, right? "I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all." And it's saying us that Jesus is that light of the world. Jesus is that good tiding. He is bringing that joy to everybody, all right? Now, there might be a few of you here today that don't call Jesus Lord, and they were wondering why him coming to the earth is so joyful. Why should all these Christians feel so happy that Jesus did come down? And it says in the Bible that everyone has fallen short of the standard that God set. And that means that, you know, we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of that standard. And there will come a time where you'll stand before God and he'll be the ultimate judge. And Jesus coming to earth is joyful is because he came down and he paid that fine for us, all right? He made it able that when we go and stand before God and be judged, we can go in a place with God in heaven, which is an amazing thing. And it says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. Now, I don't want you to just take that verse, all right? Because this is something that we always talk about in God's Warriors about we can't just call Jesus Lord and believe in our heart, right? And save. I know it says it there, but the one word that we always talk about in God's Warriors is repentance. Right? We always ask the kids, you know, what is that word? What is that word that starts with R in repentance? Because now I'm speaking to the Christians now. If you go out and tell someone just this verse, you know, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and they died from the cross, you'll be saved. They might do it once and then never think about anything again. They might just be like, oh, okay, well, I believe that he's Lord, he died on the cross, and I've confessed with him enough, I'm saved for the rest of my life. And they might go off, you know, sinning and doing all this, and then come back and you might ask them what they're doing, and then they'll say to you, oh, but you told me that all I have to do is just confess with my mouth and that Jesus is Lord, and then I'll be saved, right? So I encourage you that when you are doing this witnessing, you do make sure you tell them the full truth, that, you know, they have to be always repenting of their sins, right? And for those non-Christians that are wondering, you know, about this joy, I want you to know that today is the day of salvation, okay? You don't want to leave it too late, you know. You might think, okay, well, I'll just become a Christian on my deathbed. But today is the day of salvation. I want you to know there is a God up there that is loving and wants you to be in that place with him, which is heaven, all right? He wants you to be with him for eternity. So if you want to make that decision today, there'll be people up the front from the leadership team that would love to pray for you and love to talk to you. So I really want to encourage you that as you go forward throughout this week, that you'll take those things about, you know, the acronym J-O-Y. You can't spell it O-J-Y, Y-O-J. It has to be put in Jesus first, then others, and then yourself. And then hopefully that will help you feel a little bit of joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much that you are that light of the world and that you did come down and die for us on the cross, Lord. I pray that over the next couple of weeks, come up to Christmas, that all of us will be able to feel really, really joyful and remember the truth that you did come down and you did die on us. So thank you, Jesus, for that. I pray for each and every single one in this room, Lord, that when they leave this church, they'll have an awesome day and a blessed week. And hopefully we can all be back here next weekend. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.